Even in the darkest of the times, God has the 7,000 that have not bowed their knees before the idols of their days. Because it was a dark time when Jesus was born. That was not a very prosperous spiritual period in the world's history. It didn't appear that there were too many godly, but there is this remnant. Though most of Israel was wrapped in spiritual darkness, we find Simeon. Read about Anna. Read about an unnamed group of those who with them looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And congregation, that is a truth that encouraged the Apostle Paul when he met with the great discouragement that his own countrymen rejected the Christ the Father sent. Listen to Paul, Romans 11, verse 4 and 5. What saith the answer of God unto him, that is unto Elias? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of God. That should encourage us. There's a remnant. Even in 2022. Even in New Zealand. There are a number that we don't even know. Perhaps even in Carterton and Masterton. That we don't even know. That are loving God. Don't think they're only here. Among us. No, they're far more than that. And this little remnant is the secret that this country is still existing. Where did I get that from? Isaiah 1. Except the Lord has left a remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. The New Zealanders don't think of that. But the reason that this country is not Sodom and Gomorrah, turn over to itself, is because the people of God, there's an old saying that the world floats on the corks of God's children. It's a strange proverb. But kind of idea that you have this world floating and underneath there are the corks upon which it floats. This is God's remnant. This is a wonderful and an encouraging truth in whatever time we come into. Now, and among this remnant that was in Jesus' days, we find Simeon. And am I incorrect? Among God's children, Simeon is an exceeding attractive character. Am I mistaken? That Simeon is an attractive man. As we see here him sketched out just in a few verses. Whether he was known to the scribes and Pharisees, we don't know. Whether Herod consulted Simon a couple, maybe months, year later, about this child that's born in Bethlehem, we don't know. We don't know whether he was a man that was rich or poor, or whether he was a man that was gifted or simple. We don't know that. But notice, if you have your Bibles open, the Holy Spirit wants you to notice him. Look at verse 25. The Holy Spirit wants us to pay very special attention to this Simeon. It says in the text, and behold... I pointed that out to you repeatedly, right? The word behold is like a highlighter, an exclamation mark, an underlined verse. Behold. Pay attention. There's something here That ought to call our attention especially. It's interesting that we don't read it anywhere else in this whole chapter. We don't read it about the birth of Jesus. Now behold, she brought forth her first, but we read it about Simeon. Because we tend to read over this. What do we mean we tend to read over this? We tend to read over what this now really means, this Simeon. Here it is. If you tonight recognize what lives in Simeon, in your own heart, then you are Simeon. Blessed of God. Then you're on his level. That's why these characters are written out in the Bible. He says, but this is not about Simeon. No, it's not about Simeon. It's about Christ in Simeon. Our task when we read the scriptures is always to look for Christ. And again, as we look at Simeon, friends, he is a living witness and living sermon about Jesus, not only in what he says, we're going to look at that next week, Sunday morning, but also in who he is. And that's what we'll limit ourselves to tonight. So let's read from verse 25 to 27. Our portion for this evening of God's holy word. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. That means hearing. And the same man was just, or you could also translate it, righteous. As it is translated that way in Luke chapter 1, when we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were righteous. Same word. So the man was just or righteous, and he was devout. And he was waiting. Waiting for the consolation or the comforts of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he had something extra, special. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him, after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. And we will consider that, Lord willing, next week, Sunday, in our New Year's opening message, the words of this wonderful Simeon. Now, tonight let's consider Simeon's celebration at Christ's birth. And first let's look at Simeon's portrait of piety. And next week let's look at his praises about God's provision and his prophecy about Christ's purpose. Simeon, portrait of piety. That's why I pray tonight that this sermon may be like a little x-ray of you and me. That we may, as it were, see through this Simeon in ourselves. And what do we see in ourselves? Jesus. Because this is Jesus in this man. The Spirit of Jesus, that is. Simeon was a real Christian before Christ was even born. How was he saved? Don't know. When was he saved? Young, old? Don't know, we didn't even know what his age is in this chapter. We always think he's an old man, and maybe he was. But we don't know for sure. He said, Lord, let me now depart in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation. Yeah, Hugo Binning was 23 when he said that. Yeah, it's be old to say that. But if you've seen so much of Christ, and sometimes you say, Lord, that's enough. Take me home. That's what Simeon was. So again, Simeon was a safe man. That's clear. And all the questions that we might have about him, the Holy Spirit bypasses us. So we're going to bypass it. But one thing for sure. How did Simeon get saved? There's only one answer. Simeon listened to the Old Testament scriptures. Because faith is always by the hearing of the Word of God. There's no other way that God works faith in your heart, but by the Scriptures. In the Old and the New Testament, same way. So as Simeon's been sitting at the feet of the rabbis, who have been hearing the reading of the Scriptures in a synagogue, and perhaps he read himself, but not too many people own the Bible book. They were only in the synagogue that you have a Bible book. So he went there, as all men and women and boys and girls did, to be read to out of the Old Testament. But how do we know that this man is saved? How can we claim this about Simeon? Was it because he had a very special promise? Is that why? Let's read again. It was revealed to him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It's obviously very special. Was he saved because of that? Because of that very special promise? Answer is no. God indeed revealed to him very special promise. But I know somebody else in the Bible who got that too. And he was not saved. His name is Balaam. You go read that in chapters, Numbers, 20, 23, 24. It's one of the most amazing histories in the Bible. A man who prophesied about the coming star in Bethlehem, the scepter in Judah, saw ahead of him wonderful promises and prophecies about Jesus. Not saved. But that's not what characterized his salvation, though it was special. Was it because Simeon was given to see Jesus? Literally, and he took him in his arm and he looked at this child. Was it therefore that he was saved? No. There's many who saw Jesus as a baby and as a boy and as a man, but remained unsaved. Let's just listen to what the Bible says about this man, and that concludes that he was a saved man. The Holy Spirit tells us what he was like. He was a just man, he was a devout man, and he was a waiting man. Godliness is not what you know. Godliness is not what you experience either. Godliness is what you are by the grace of God. What you become as the Holy Jesus takes you in his hand and you become his project of salvation. That is the word that Paul uses. We are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. That's what made this Simeon what Simeon is in this chapter. For dear congregation, without grace, we're selfish, we're proud, we may be very religious. If you figured out that religion might bring advantage to you, you're going to be religious. If you think that that will make you get more of the divine favor, you're going to be very religious. And if you want human applause in the settings that you are, you might be very religious. But let's be clear about that. Being religious, that's not what it is. We need to have a change of heart. And that's what we see in Simeon. So what are the particulars of Simeon's portrait of piety and godliness? And I really want to repeat it again. What we see in this man is Jesus' reflection. This is the spirit of Jesus working in this man, exactly what Jesus is like. And that's so beautiful. If you are saved, you become like Jesus, slowly, more and more. And Simeon is that. He's a man who is righteous, just in all he's doing. He's a man who's devout, and he's a man who's waiting. And Jesus did that too. So let's look at that again. The Puritan William Law, he says, all our salvation consists in the revealing of the nature and the life and the spirit of Jesus in our inward new man. I'm going to repeat that statement. So beautiful. All of our salvation consists in the making known of the nature, the life and the spirit of Jesus in our inward man. We need lots of Simeons and Annas in our churches, don't we? So there are three characteristics. Let's look at the first one. He was a just man or a righteous man. Now, if we compare that to the scriptures and look for another example, then undoubtedly also in your mind comes Job to the foreground. Job. There's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and avoided evil. Lovely man. What a gem. In Luke chapter 1, we find Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they are having a similar description, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Simeon was like that too. The man that walked in his public relations with people, in his church gathering, in his synagogues coming to, and at Jerusalem temple, man who walked blameless in God's commandments, and, listen to this, God's ordinances. That's what we need to understand of Simeon. He is a man who obeyed the Lord, as Elizabeth and Zechariah, walking in all the commandments, but also walking in all the ordinances of God, blameless. Are we men, women, boys and girls, who show respect to all God's commandments? Why? Because I love the Lord. Because we esteem Him. We just want to please Him. Are we like that? Just ask yourself that for a moment. What motivates you and me to live outwardly doing God's commandments? If all of a sudden you'd be taken out of this Carterton and you plunk somewhere in Antarctica, if it was warm there, let's find a warmer place. Somewhere else in the world that's warmer and nicer. Nobody knows you. Would you be the same person? Good question. Let's think about it. Simeon was a man who was righteous. He was just. He loved the Lord. He also was a man who obeyed God's gospel or God's ordinances. What does that mean, children? God's ordinances? Well, every Sabbath day there was a synagogue service. There was a hopeless preacher there. I mean, those scribes and Pharisees, they were terrible preachers. Laws upon laws and requirement upon requirement and dead as you can have it. And they were preaching, teaching, ruling. And Simeon would not say, well, I'm not going. Simeon went. You know who also went? For 30 years, Simeon's Savior. 30 years. Jesus sat under the worst preaching. Some of you find it easy to stay home from my preaching. You think you have a good excuse. I want you to think about Simeon. And about Jesus. 30 years. And if Simeon is an old man, it might have been 60 years. But blamelessly attending the outward ordinances of God, these temple services that took place every day, he went there. Formalistic, ritualistic, totally empty. Where were the priests running to Bethlehem and the wise men came? Nobody. Nobody went to look for what the wise men talked about. You see the state of religion. And Simeon walked blameless. And God blessed that to him. Why? The scripture reading. That couldn't be corrupted. Even though maybe the messages were corrupted in the synagogue, the scripture readings wasn't, and they read from the Old Testament consecutively, book after book, every Lord's Day. That's Simeon. He was a just man. Now the word just is also the word righteousness, as I already said to you. So here's a man who was not only just in walking blamelessly. Now, if we are taking the word just in the rest of the New Testament context, then the word just always is connected to those who live by faith in the gospel. Now, we've just gone to that in our Lord's days, that those who are believing in Jesus are just, declared so by the word of God. Out of the heavenly court. Now that's the word here too. Simeon was not just a man who walked outwardly. Simeon was a believer. He trusted in the gospel revealed in the temple sacrifices. Simeon was not a man who depended on his religion to save him. He depended on the Lord to save him. And of course, as he saw those sacrifices and all these religious things in the temple, Simeon must have received some of that understanding that David had, as you read him in the Psalms, to look beyond that ceremony to the promised Messiah. And we understand that because he was looking forward in a spiritual way to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So let's reflect again. When you come before God, when you bow your knees and you pray to him, when you seek his nearness, when you do your religious things, do you look consciously and spiritually? And do you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, making only mention of his name as you come in the presence of God? For Jesus' sake, Lord, hear me and receive me and save me. Nothing else. Jesus only. And if so, and if that's what your life is like, then God declares you tonight a just man. Now Simeon was also an Adam's child. He had an evil heart. He had his idolatries. He had his own sins. Of course he did. But he leaned and he looked to the blessed Christ as he's pictured in the sacrifices. Has to be. And that's why he's called just. And you are too. If that is what your life is like. Don't feel it. No, of course not. You feel not just. But you are. By the declaration of God's holy word. Let's sing together Psalm 111. Verses 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. Oh, there we have Simeon again. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay, and upon a rock he set my feet and made my way. So Psalter 111, we'll do 1, 2, and 3.
He was a devout man. The thing that we read about him, devout. Let's say today maybe pious. But the Greek is actually much more deeper. It's a man who lived in the realization that he always lived in the presence of God. God could hear him, God could see him, God could notice him. That's devout. Simeon was a man inwardly devoted, inwardly consecrated to live for God. That's his character. To show in love and respect tenderly, with a tender conscience, I'd say. And he didn't live like that because he wanted to earn salvation. He didn't like that because then he thought, maybe I get better favors with God. That's not Simeon. Notice it comes after the word just. He has been looking for his acceptance with God in Christ, from whom he now is waiting to see in a literal way. And friends, this is always the order. We don't become devout before we come to Christ. We come devout after we've come to Christ. After we have seen and tasted the love of God in him, that becomes the motivating spirit within. To devote ourselves like Simeon to be a man devoted to God. Now you see here Jesus' image, right? Jesus came into this world consecrated, devoted to his Father and to his enemies just as much. That's devoted, isn't it? Not just a pious man with a little book in the corner living in his own little life. That's not what Jesus was like. He's a man who loved God and he went out to love people. That's devoted. That's Simeon. Because there are quite a few in Jerusalem that are like Anna and him looking for redemption. Undoubtedly, Simeon has his influence on them. So let's reflect again. Is this my picture? Am I devoted? Am I devoting myself to love the Lord? Love is an action. Love is a sacrifice. Love is denying yourself. Love is giving. Love is serving. That's what Jesus did. That's how devoted he was, that he walked all the way to the ugly cross, cursed, shamed, rejected. Why? Because he was devoted. You see, a man becomes devoted only through Christ living in him by faith. We read this nice statement tonight that no doubt is a little bit a difficult one for us to understand. Let me read that again. What is the union which the elect have with Christ? That union which the elect have with Christ is the work of God's grace whereby they are spiritually and mystically united to Jesus. Mystically. That was a bit difficult word. And our elder explained it well. There's something so unexplainable about that. How we are united to Christ. And Christ begins to live in us. And work within us. And the consecration that we see in Simeon is nothing else but the consecration and devotion of Jesus' Spirit in us. Beautiful, isn't it? Work of salvation is just so beautiful. And Simeon's devotion does not mean he was perfect, or don't think that Simeon had any, was not without faults. Don't think that. On Simeon, he had his own sins to deal with. Undoubtedly, he was one like Zephaniah speaks about. God says, I will have a poor and afflicted people left behind. But that's not where the text ends. Who will trust in the name of the Lord? And that comes to the next aspect of Simeon. He was waiting on the consolation of Israel. Waiting. What was that waiting of Simeon like? What do you think? How did he wait? He sit down and wait? That's not what Simeon did. Waiting is an act of faith. Waiting is an act of trusting God to fulfill the promise he has promised to fulfill, but hasn't done it yet. That's waiting. Waiting is taking hold of the name of God in his promise and say, Lord, when wilt thou fulfill this? That's waiting. Waiting is what Jacob did at Peniel. I will not let thee go, Lord. And that's waiting. That's different than what sometimes people say. They're waiting on God for them to convert them. That's not what that, I think, means. They just sit and wait. That's not waiting. That's here spoken of. This man is waiting, looking, praying, wrestling for what God has promised throughout all the Old Testament, the promise of the Messiah. And Simeon cherished by faith the hope of that only comfort in Christ that would come. And he was waiting for the consolation, the comfort, the redeeming work, the redemption of sin, like verse 29 says, and Anna and all these people were waiting for the redemption in Jerusalem. So Simeon was a lot different here than his fellow Jews. They were also waiting for the Messiah. And they were talking about his coming. But they are having a Messiah on their lips that only was a Messiah for living a better earthly life. That's all they wanted Messiah for. Get the Romans out and restore Israel to its former glory and make Jerusalem again the envy of the world and all those kind of things. That is what the Jews were looking for, but not Simeon. Looking for comfort. And once he had it, he was ready to leave. He wasn't earthbound. He wasn't living for here and now. The man who lived for God and looked for Christ. Is that your portrait? Are you waiting also? Are you laying your finger by God's promises and says, Lord, when wilt thou fulfill this promise? And the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings unto those that fear thy name. Are we waiting? Like the New Testament church was waiting on the coming of Jesus again. Eagerly looking for when his promise will be fulfilled. Are we waiting like that? That's Simeon. You say, well, that was before Christ's first coming. Yes, but there are Simeons like that today too, aren't they? They're coming and looking, waiting for the consolation of Christ's second coming. Now, besides these gifts of godliness, we notice that Simeon was given a rare and a unique privilege, an extraordinary revelation. Very uncommon it is, what we read in verse 26 and 27. He was given this promise by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he literally had seen with his own eyes the Lord's Christ. Though Simeon had seen him by the eye of faith in the Old Testament ordinances, Holy Spirit told them you would see him with your own eyes before you die, Simeon. How did the Holy Spirit do that? How did the Holy Spirit communicate that? I do not know, but I'm pretty sure the Holy Spirit would have used the Old Testament scripture. As he always does. And so how Simeon felt and experienced or was convicted that he would not die. Now with that, let's conclude for tonight, and just in a very Puritan fashion, I have three little applications. First, for encouragement. And the encouragement is that God will always have a seed to serve him, even in the darkest times and the worst of places. Fathers, mothers, grandfathers, grandmothers are not easy times, are they? But this is the promise. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. That promise is not exhausted. Let's be encouraged together. God is at work. Israel was occupied by pagan forces. Cruel Herod is ruling. Jewish church is totally corrupted. Legalism, formalism, ritualism. The voice of prophecy has been silenced for 450 years when this man is on the page of Scripture. Yet in that condition, there is in that nation, in that Jewish church, men and women and boys and girls who fear the Lord. So it is today. Let's be encouraged. New Zealand is corrupt, pagan. Our culture is corrupt and threatening. Many Christians are formal. But even among us today, there are Simeons and Enochs. Even among young people, there are Simeons and Enochs. Well, let's not despise the day of small things. But let's continue to pray over these small beginnings that you come sometimes hear and see in the midst of all the questions of God being at work. I am convinced he is at work among us also. And drawing from us sinners to Christ, it is so exciting and so comforting to know that he will do that. Out of New Zealand too, out of Carleton and Masterton and Eketahuna and who knows where. We've laid before you in this bulletin this week what we're going to try to explore together. Sowing stations in the Wairarapa. Places where the word of God needs to be preached. Johan is our evangelist. Why don't we send him out to begin to do that more? With some of us accompanying him. And what is our encouragement? This passage. God is at work. Still. How do you know that, Pastor? Because he's not there yet. He hasn't come back yet. He hasn't turned us over yet either. That's the guarantee, friends, that our Lord is at work yet to gather sinners to himself. So let's be encouraged. Let's be instructed. I haven't come to that yet in detail, but we'll just make a mention of that. Simeon waited for the Lord's Christ. Just love that little statement. It is the Lord's Christ. Christ was not the beginning of it all. The Lord is the beginning of Christ. The Lord sent Christ. The Lord God Almighty sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into this world, as we saw this morning. It's God's gift. Literally, he is the Lord's anointed. Christ means anointed. He is the divinely given prophet and the priest and the king. And because he gave Christ to be the prophet, the priest, king, therefore, there's hope. We're not given over to ourselves. We don't have to save ourselves. There is no hope if that needs to be the case. No, we are facing days in which Christ has come as the prophet and the priest and the king. Will you make use of him while he is still among us like that? Set yourself before him this week. Find a little spot and open your Bible, and as you do, plead with the prophet Jesus Christ, teach me. And as you see your sin or you see how wrong you are, take hold of this priest that God lays in your lap, as you heard this morning. The Lamb of God. You don't have to fetch him out of the South Island. you know, to fetch him out of Australia. He's coming our midst as the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. Yeah, make use of him. He's able to save you to the uttermost. For God has provided him as an able and willing Savior. And then last, let's be reminded, do we wait as Simeon waited for Jesus Christ? Children of God, are we like Simeon, waiting for the consolation to come on the clouds? And finally, we'll usher in the full completion of his great and glorious work. Are we standing maybe weekly, or would it be daily, looking at that cloud cover and say, Lord Jesus, how long will it be before thou would come back? So I'm not ready for that. Well then, you got work to do, don't you? Then we have to be on our knees to make sure that we're ready. Because he's not going to wait till you're ready. He's not going to wait till you're ready. When he's ready, then he comes. And what will it be when finally we see him, children of God, as Simeon saw him as a child, and he probably never seen him grown up as an adult, if he was an old man. And we've never seen him, even as a child. But we'll see him as he sits on the throne of the clouds with all these thousands and thousands of angels. And then John, in his beautiful closing book, writes, and when we will see him, we shall be like him as he is. Let me close with those words tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, Simeon, Anna, and all those that look for redemption. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Nobody knew Simeon in that world, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that has this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now let's take that along. Is there things, Lord, that I need to put out of my life that ought not to be there, in which I defile myself again with the things of this earth? May God bless these words. Amen. We praise thee, Lord, for this wonderful work that thou here glorified in Simeon's example, and for the wonderful work thou art still doing, O great God, in this world today. And thou hast thy Simeons and thy Annas all over this world, looking and longing for the redemption, for the redeeming and freeing and liberating and sanctifying and cleansing work of Jesus Christ. Lord, let there be many born again here tonight by thy word and spirit, that may also become hungry for the consolation that thou hast brought us in Jesus Christ. And we pray, as we live this last week of our year, it may prove to be the best week. O God, exercise our hearts together with faith and love and searching and looking. Direct thou our hearts, O God, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Jesus Christ. Amen.